Daf is daf. Hey, so I figured we get to the two dots, 10 lines down. Makes sense. Gufa, excellent. Gemara says Gufa. Minayin she'ena chayv el al sheish b'diya b'tchila v'yidiya b'sof. How do we know that you're chayv only if there's yidiya at the beginning, and then there has to be yidiya at the end as well? Because the pasuk says to hell in main time, and then there has to be a forgetfulness in between. Tamalomer v'ne'alam v'ne'alam shnei pamim divi Rabbi Akiva. Since it says ne'alam, which means to forget, it says two times. That implies two forgets. Forgettings, I guess, of Yediyah, that there was a Yediyah B'tchila, and then there was a Yediyah B'sof. That's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tzarach, you don't need that, because Harehu Omer, it says, V'nelam, Michlal Shiyada. Nelam implies that he forgot something that he already knew, so you don't need a separate V'nelam to teach me that. V'nelam, Michlal Shiyada, V'hu Yada, and he knew about it. So now, right now he knows about it, because the only way a person brings a carbon if he knows about it currently. So he certainly has a yediyah b'sof. That's a davar pashut. And the word v'nelam implies that he forgot something that he already did know. So one v'nelam would be sufficient to teach me that it's a case of two yediyahs. So, harei kan she yediyahs, im kein ma tam alomer v'nelam. What does Rebbe learn from the extra word v'nelam? L'chayiv al ha'elam tuma val ha'elam mikdash, to include not only the person chayiv on forgetting that he was tamei, but he's also chayiv for forgetting that makom ha'mikdash, or forgetting that he's eating kadshim. So Gemara now analyzes this concept of v'nelam. Amar mar v'nelam michlal shiyada. Rebbe said that the word nelam indicates or implies that he already knew. So my mashma, Amar Rava midiloksiv vihi aluma mimenu. Aluma means that he never knew. It was never known to him. Ne'elam means it was forgotten from him. Ne'elam implies there was the idea, but aluma means that he never knew. So since it says ne'elam instead of aluma, that implies that he once did know. Amar Le'abaye, Abaye said, Elamiat, if that's the case, Gave Sota dichsiv v'ne'elam me'ene isha, that he wasn't aware of what his wife had done with the case of a sota. Michlal dehava yada mekara. So ne'elam means that he knew, and then he forgot about it. So if he knew, if it's a case where the husband actually knew his wife was involved in something, I have a yada mi bad kolemaya. If he's aware of her being, Rashi says, look at Rashi for a second. Actually, we'll read Rashi in just a moment. If he knew something, then the sota waters are not going to work, because of hatanya v'nika ish me avon v'isha hahi tisas avona. If the man is cleansed clean from any sin, so then the woman's responsible. Bisman she'ish menuka me'avon, when the man is clean of any sin, that's the case. Hamayim bodkinos ishta, the water only tests her if he doesn't have any averas. But ein ha'ish menuka me'avon, if the husband is not clear of sin, he did something wrong, so then ein hamayim bodkinos ishta, the water is not going to test her out. So we're saying v'nelam me'ene isha means that he did know about something she had done, so then he's involved in avera. We'll see what the avera is in just a second. And if he's involved in avera, then the waters aren't going to work. So just look at Rashi. Rashi says, ein ha'isha menuka me'avon, it's around 10 narrow lines down, sheba aleha achar shenistera, that if he knew about it, and he was ba'aleha after knowing that she was nistera, because when she's nistera, the halacha just reminded us of sota, he's mekanaher. She was with a particular man, and he warned her never be b'makom stira with this particular man, and she was nistera, and she was caught involved in a house privacy with this man. So she has to go ahead and drink the sota waters, and now it's aser for him to be with this woman. She's now a din of a sota. So if he's ba'aleha after she's already been nistera, the waters doesn't work. So how could Nelam really mean that he was aware of what took place? Because if he's aware and he was ba'aleha, the water doesn't work. So look at Tosus for a second. Tosus Dibar Maschil V'Nelam. Tosus understands it. He quotes the Yesh Mefarshim right in the beginning there. Dehavale Yediya Shinitmes. Not that it was Nistera, but that was Nitmes. It was actually Tumah. And he goes on to prove this from Psukim. I don't want to get too involved in the kashas here, but it's a different shita. It's about Tumah versus Stira. You jump down now in Tosos, though. The first words on the line, halfway down, Ulufi ha'mefarshim, he's going now within Shitas Rashi. Ulufi ha'mefarshim divinelam is kai astira, Mairi. So then if you hold like Rashi, that Nelam means that he forgot, he was aware before that she was Nistera, not Tuma, but Nistera, that she was just in a place of privacy alone with this man. Shapir, the Bishas Hashkas Zachar Minastira. Bishas Hashka, the time when he was drinking, he remembered the stira. That makes sense. Avamikomakom Kasha, Amai Chashivle Ein Menuka. Just because he knows he was Nistera, how do you know that, okay, just because Yada, Imlo Bala, Mishinistera? Right, the Pasuk says, Vinelam, he knew what took place. But whoever said he was a Bala, Rashi added that in. The Pasuk just indicates he knew about it. So if he wasn't Ba'ala, there's not going to be any Avera. Whoever said there's Avera here. So what Tosa says is, V'yesh Lomar, Kevan deshachach, once he forgot, right, Vinelam, if he knew his wife was Nistera, and he forgot about it, that clearly holds, Mochiach, Shalom Hikbid, he doesn't really care. Excuse me. V'lo chashiv menukam yavon. And that's considered as if he's not clean of sin. Because dafilu eino moche a'avon banav ubnosav ein ma'im bot kinasa, as the Isha says the Gemara. If a person doesn't reprimand his kids and discipline his kids, that's also called not keeping, nikam yavon. That's called violating a sin. So certainly, if a person forgets that his wife was involved with another man, that's considered as if he's not makbid, and that's considered he's involved in Avera. Once he's involved in the Avera, so then the water isn't going to test it out. So that being the case, this is all based on the kasha of how could it really be vinelam means, implies that he was yada, he knew about it. If he knew about it, the waters wouldn't work. And we know that the case is the waters do work. So vinelam cannot mean that he forgot about it, that's something he once knew. So the Gemara now asks the second kasha. Visu, it's around 7 hour lines up. Visu gavi Torah, dechsiv in the pasuk in Eicha, talks about Vinelma me'ene kolchai, the Torah was forgotten from all creatures, u'me'of ha'shemayim nisra, and was hidden from the birds. And then it says, mechlal d'ika d'ava yadabe, but does that imply that now it was forgotten? But does that mean that everyone, it was known before, the Torah was fully known to someone before this? V'haksiv, lo yada enosh ercha, no one knows the value of Torah, no one can know Torah entirely. So how could they ever say Vinelma? Nelma is only one person knew something 100% and then he forgot it. But no one ever knew the Torah 100% to have forgotten it. We can know parts of the Torah, but we can never know the entire value and everything that's in the Torah to forget it. So we see that there are two kashas that Vinelam can't mean that Yavda Meikara, that they knew it beforehand. So Gemara answers, Amar Lei, El Amar Baye, Kasava Rebbe. This is a very important concept we're going to see a few times in the next the remaining part of the parak. Amar Baye Kesava Rebbe. Rebbe holds Yedias Beis Rabbo Shma Yedia. The awareness of what he learned in his Beis Rabbo in yeshiva is considered a Yedia. It's not Yedia that you did something wrong at the time, that you're aware of something, but Yedia here means just aware that the concept exists, but not the fact. So look at Rashi. Rashi says Yedias Beis Rabbo. Shalomar b'beis rabo, he learned in yeshiva, she'anogeba tumma tameh. A person who touches something that's tameh, he becomes tameh himself. V'hu yada shehirgish b'kishanaga, he was aware that he touched something. Now, he wasn't aware that this sheretz is tameh. He knew he touched something. He also knew from years ago in yeshiva that touching a certain sheretz is metameh person. V'hu yada shehirgish kishanaga, v'alo hisbonein losum alibo shenitba. But he never was able to process that he was tameh now. So he never knew that he was actually Tameh, but he knew enough facts that in theory he could have connected the dots and figured out he was Tameh. So it's really a very superficial understanding of Yediyah. That's all you really need to have a Yediyah B'tchila. Just some awareness of the concept and that you're involved in a certain Maisa, but you're just lacking the ability to connect those two ideas of the Maisa to your Yediyah from Yeshiva. That's the Shita of Rebbe. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Rav Papa, le Abaye, Ela dikatani ein ba yediyah betchila, v'yesh ba yediyah besof, mi'ika, de les la yediyah beis rabo. So then we have a concept in the Mishnah that if a person never knew, and he knew at the end, so one of the karbanos is a mechaper for him. How could a person never know something in the beginning? If yediyah betchila means that he went to yeshiva, so everyone went to yeshiva. So how could you ever have a case of ein yediyah betchila? And to the Gemara answers, as we know, Amar Lei, we can have such a person, Mishkachas La Betinok Shinishba Lebein HaNachrim, a child who was taken away by the non-Jews and never got to go to yeshiva, that's a person who doesn't know anything. He is Ein Yediyah, he doesn't have Yediyah space rabbo. That's the example of Ein Yediyah Betchila. Very good, but that, we're talking in this world, the Olam Hazeh.
Why?
Good kasha though. Why?
Okay, whatever. Okay. Whatever.
That's a good kasher. Gemara says two wire lines down. The two dots. You see us Shabbos. He had so much. Pinchas Banim.
What would you do with that?
Yitzias b'Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arva. Two that are four. Tanan Hassan. The Mishnah tells us in Masecha Shabbos. Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arva Bifnim. B'Shtayim Shein Arva Buchutz. There are two that are four Yitzias that have to do with inside bringing objects inside, and the two that are four there sending objects outside. So the Gemara asks, "Ma'ishna hacha the tani shtayim ashein arba v'sulo." Our mission in Masechah Shavuos just says two that are four. It doesn't have two that are four that are pnim, two that are four are chutz. It only mentions half of them. So how come our mission in Shavuos doesn't mention all of them? Ma'ishna hasam why in Masechah Shabbos the tani shtayim ashein arba b'pnim v'shtayim ashein arba b'chutz? Because Hasam Dikar Shabbos, because Masechah Shabbos is Masechah Shabbos. So we're being very exhaustive there, and we're teaching all the various dinim. But who? Tani Avos, V'Toldos. There, so we taught both the Avos and the Toldos in Masechah Shabbos. Hacha, Masechah Shavuos, Delav Ikar Shabbos. This is not the Masechah of Shabbos. So Avos Tani, Toldos Lo Tani. We only taught the Avos, but we didn't teach the Toldos. So Gemara wants to know, okay, so what's an Av? Avos Maininu, what's considered an Av for the Malacha of Hotzah? So the Gemara explains, Maininu, Yitzios, when you, two that are four of a Hotzah, taking an object outside from a house, from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, that's a Hotzah, those are Yitzios. So the Gemara says, Yitzios Tarte Havin, there are only two of them. The only time a person's Chayv Hotzah, if there's both an Akira and a Hanacha. How is that accomplished? If I'm the Baal Bayis and I take my object and put it outside. If you're the Ani and you come in my house, stick your hand in my house and pull it out, that's when you've done the Akira, the Hanacha. There are only two cases of Hotzah, Midrais, the Yerchayiv, of a Hotzah, of taking out. But there's not, if I do, let's say, the Akira, and you take it from my hand, or I rather I place it into your hand as the Ani, I've done the Akira and you've done the Hanacha. So there's only two cases where Hotzah could really lead to a Chayiv Chattas. But our mission in Masechah Shavuos says there are four. So how could it be that you're saying Masechah Shavuos is only talking about Hotzah, the only two cases of Hotzah? So the Gemara says, maybe you're going to tell me like we suggested the other day, V'chitema mehen l'chiv, mehen l'pftur. Maybe our mission is talking about four scenarios. Two of them are chayv, two of them are pater. The two that are chayv is the Baal Bayis does the Akira and the Hanacha, or the Ani does the Akira and the Hanacha. If one does the Akira and the other does Hanacha, either way, however it works, that's splitting it up in half. Those would be two cases of Hotzah that you'd be pater from. So maybe that's how the mission is understood. Four total cases of Hotzah, two that are chayiv, two that are pater. Gemara says that can't be, like we saw the other day. The fact that the Mishnah compares it to Negarim, Mahasim, just like there, Kulhu Lichyuva, all four cases of Negarim are chayiv, or really that they create Tumah. Avhacha kula lechiyuva. So too, the four examples of Hotzah has to be four examples of chiyuvim. So again, which four cases is the Mishnah talking about that you're chayvin? So El Amar Rava, Rav Papa rather says, Hasam Dikar Shabbos Tani chiyuve upature. The Mishnah Masechah Shabbos teaches all the cases, some that are chayiv, some that are pater. Hacha here in the Masechah Shavuos. Chiyuvitani uptur lo tani. Our Mishnah teaches only the chiyuvim cases and not the pater cases. So what are the four chiyuvim? So we said there are two chiyuvim that are hotzah. If I, as a Baal Bayis, send the item outside, I've done the akira and the hanacha, or you, as the ani, have taken it from a house and brought it outside, that's also hotzah. Or there's also the kenisa. Let's say I'm the Baal Bayis, I took something from outside and brought it in, your chayv, or the ani stuck his hand inside my house and brought it outside, where he's done the Akir v'Hanacha. So those are four different cases of Akir v'Hanacha that are chayiv. Two Hotzahs and two Kenisas, Hachnasas. So the Gemara says, wait a second, so if you're telling me now that's four cases that are chayiv in the Mishnah Masechah Shavuos, my Ninu, what are these four Yitzios? Yitzios Tartihu. There are only two cases where you're chayiv Hotzah, taking it outside. Tavishtaim d'Hotzah, v'shtaim d'Hachnasa. Like I just said, two cases where you take it outside and two cases where you bring it inside that you're chayv. The Gemara asks a very basic question. Our Mishnah calls a Yitzia. And how could you say Hachnasa is Yitzia? Hachnasa is entering, Yitzia is exiting. So Amar Rav Ashi, Tana Hachnasa Nami Hotza Karilei. Hachnasa, although it means literally bringing inside, it also can be referred to as Hotza, taking outside. How do you know? Mimai. What's the raya that hachnasa is called potsa? Mara says, the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos, this is Ayin Gimel. Ayin Gimel is a famous Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos that lists all 39 malachas. So how does the Mishnah describe potsa? Hamotzi mirishus l'rishus chayiv. You take from one domain to another domain. So milo askinan the kamayil iule v'kakari lehotsa. Is it not including a case where you're ma'ayil, you're bringing it inside, it's a hachnasa, and yet it still calls it hamotzi? So we see that even hachnasa is called hotsa. Gemara says, how do you know? V'dilma kamavik merishus hayachid l'rishus harabim. Maybe the Mishnah in Ayin Gimel, when it says hamotzi merishus l'rishus, means hamotzi merishus hayachid to rishus harabim. Maybe it's only talking about a case of hotsa and not describing a case of hachnasa. Gemara says, im kein, if that was the case, if hamotzi merishus l'rishus is a case of rishus hayachid to rishus harabim, so then the Mishnah should have taught Nisnei Hamotzi Mirshus HaYachid L'Rishus HaRabim. They should have specified which types of Rishios. The fact that it says Stam Rishus L'Rishus, my Mirshus L'Rishus, Zafilu Mirshus HaRabim L'Rishus HaYachid, the Kakari Lehotza. That the fact that it talks about it as any Rishus to another Rishus, it includes all Rishios, including Hachnasa, and yet it calls it Hotza, tells us that even Hachnasa is called Hotza. So again, our mission, Masechah Shavuos, is talking about four cases of Hotza that are chayiv. Two of them are really hachnasa, two of them are actual Hotzas, but they all fall under the rubric of Hotza. Mara says, wait a second, just then, how is it understood? The time am I? How could you call hachnasa? How do you get away with that, calling hachnasa a Hotza? So the Gemara says a very important yesod here. This impacts a lot of areas of Hotza. Tana, Kola kiras chevetz mimkomo hotza karle. Whenever you take an object and remove it from its location, that's called a hotza from its makom. Even though, from our perspective, you bring it inside and outside, you look at it as its context. Its context is outside. Extracting it from its context is called a hotza. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara now says, Amar Ravina, Masnisin Neima Deka, our Mishnah is also very precise in that it says Dikatani Yitzios Shabbos Shtaim Shein Arba Bifnim B'Shaim Shein Arba B'Chutz. So our Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, when it's describing what's a Yitzio, what's Hotza, the Kamifarish Achnasa, it talks about Yitzios and it talks about bringing things Bifnim. So we see Shtaim Shein Arba Bifnim is clearly referring to Achnasa, yet the Mishnah calls it a Hotza. So that's the understanding. And then comes along Rava. Rava says, Amar Rishuyos Katani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtaim. Our Mishnah is not talking about the Maisa Hotza at all. It's not describing a Maisa Hotza versus Hachnasa. We don't have to deal with the Shiloh whether Hachnasa is a Hotza or not. It's a whole other perspective. We're talking about domains. There are two domains that are really four domains. Not the Maisa at all, but just in terms of Rishuyos. So what are the four domains? Two that are four. So two main Rishuyos are Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and those two also branch off into two other Rishios Dirabanan, which are a Carmelis, which is a Rishis HaRabim Midirabanan, and then there's a Makum Patur, which is just like a neutral territory. You have to learn the halachas to really appreciate what a Makum Patur is, but those are the two that are for Rishios, and again, nothing to do with the Maisa Hautsa versus the Maisa Achnasa. It's describing the four different Makomos Rishios. Okay, you guys ready to learn some Negaim?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have a great day, Adam.
Yeah.
Halfway down Amud Beis. Maros Negaim, when you get a chance, look at the Tosfos, Dear Maschel Shnaim. It's a good Tosfos. Maros Negaim, excuse me. Shnaim Shein Arba. Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us Maseches Negaim. Maros Negaim, Shnaim Shein Arba. There are two types of Negaim, Neged Tzaras, leprosy colors, that really are broken down into four. Beharas Aza, so Beharas is one of them, that's Aza Kishelag, it's very strong, a very deep white, and it's like snow. Shnia, the told of it, the second one, is Kisid HaHechal, is like the plaster in the Hechal. Seis, which is another Av, is Ketzemer Lavan, like white wool. And Shniela, and the secondary, the Tafel to Seis, the told of Seis, is Kikaram Beitza, like the shell of an egg. Those are the four different white colors. An Ava Tolda and Ava Tolda. So we have to look at Rashi here to understand this. Look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil, Beheros Aza Kishelag, halfway down the narrow lines. Aza Levana Beyoser. The white like snow is the whitest of all of them. It's the strongest, the deepest color of white. See Rashi halfway down, Beheros Aza Kishelag. Next Rashi says, Shniela, the second one to the Beheros, Beheros is the, what's it called? The Kisid Kehechal. That Da'af Agav the Tzemer Lavan Aza Lav Nunisa Misid. Even though the wool, white wool, is whiter than Sidah Heichal. White wool was the description of Seis. That was number three mentioned. Even though it's whiter, Al Karcho Seis Shehuav Karov Al Levnuso Shel Behara Beras He. So the white of the wool has to be really the Av. So in terms of the orders, the whitest, 1, 2, 3, 4, the whitest, the 1 and 2 are the Avs. Number 3, in terms of whiteness, becomes the tolda of number 1. And number 4 becomes a tolda of number 2.
Is it tolda like by Shabbos? Like it's
not quite. I mean, it's a secondary level, but it's not nothing to do with chatos. It has to do with being mitzarif. Could you connect the colors with each other?
To make
a big enough shear. So number 1, let's call it in terms of numbers, 1 cannot be mitzarif with number 4, because that's not its tolda. It can only be mitzarif with number 3, its own tolda. So we're going to get to that. So in terms of, again, the shade of white, the strongest is 1, 2, 3, 4, but 1 is Av 1, 2 is Av 2, 3 is the tolda of 1, and 4 is the tolda of 2. That's what Rashi is pretty much explaining here. So even though, again, the Tzemer Lavan, the white wool, you have it there, a chart? Oh, okay. So the white wool is whiter than Sidah Heichal, it's considered its own Av. You know, look at the chart. Everyone takes a look at the chart in the art scroll. Do I have one here? I don't have one here.
It like it was on the wall.
Okay, the wall. You saw the wall come together, right? Okay, good. Fine. So let's look at the Gemara now. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Man Tana Maros Negaim. Who is the author of this mission about the Maros Negaim? It's Delo Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Akiva. How so? Because Di Rabbi Akiva, holds, Kaven de Amar Zula Malmizu, Vizula Malmizu. He holds that you could only be mitzarif the shade that's below it. So 2 goes to 1, 3 goes to 2, and 4 goes to 3. The problem is, according to Rabbi Akiva, im kem tiharta sidha hecha. Sidha hecha was number 2. Number 3. Tiharta sidha hecha militzarif behade. Because the sidha hecha can never be mitzarif with something else. Why not? Man litzarif, how are you going to include number 3? Litzref behade beheres, if you want to make it mitzarif to beheres, which is its av, well, it can't because it's two away. Because right now, Sidah Heichel is number 3, it can't connect to number 1. Because Rabbi Kiva holds Zulam al Mizu, you only can be mitzarif things that are adjacent to each other in the shades. So since Sidah Heichel is number 3, it can't connect to number 1. They're too far apart from each other, according to Rabbi Kiva. And further, so then if you're going to suggest maybe since Seis is blocking between the Sidah Heichel and the Sheleg, so then you can't be Mitzarif number 3 with number 1. So maybe you're going to tell me, Litzarfe Behade Seis. So maybe number 3 could combine with number 2, the Seis, which is right above it. Those are adjacent to each other. The problem with that is, Lav Tolda Didehu. You can't combine 3 to 2, because 3 isn't a Tolda of 2. 3 is a Tolda of number 1. So either way, there's no way to be mitzarif it with anything. And because again, Rabbi Kiva's assumption is only Zulam al-Mizu. And that can't be the case because we know all the different negaim have one other thing it could be mitzarif with. So Rabbi Kiva could not have authored our Mishnah in saying what's an Av and what's a Tolda. Everyone with me on this, I hope? So the Gemara says, Ihachiv, that's the Shaila. Karim Beitanami. You have the same question with the white shell, eggshell, which is number 4. Which one's number 4 going to be mitzarif with? Litzref Bahade Seis. If you want to have it combined to its own Av, which is number 2, connect 4 to number 2, that's not going to work. Because Ika Sid Dadif Minei. There's the Sid, which is number 3, which is in between. It's blocking it. And you can't jump from 4 to 2, according to Rabbi Kiva. Only the Zulam Alamizu works. So maybe you're going to suggest Litzref Bahade Sid. So maybe number 4, the Krum Beitza, could connect to number 3 with the Sidah Heichal. They're right next to each other. Zulam al-Mizu. Maybe that should work. The Gemara says that can't be because Lav Bar Minehu. They're different categories. It's not the same Av and Tolda. So just like if a Kashu with number 3 can't combine with anything, number 4 can't combine with anything either. So Gemara says that's not so problematic, because go to Daf Vav now, the top of Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that's not so problematic, because hi my Bishma, I understand below Sid without the Kasha of Sid without number three, Heichel Karm Beitel Kasha. So with forgetting Sid Heichel for just a moment, leaving it in the back of your mind for a moment. Kerem Beta, the white eggshell, is not a kasha, lakasha, because the afagav de Kerem Beta, even though the eggshell, number four, is mitatai de seis, that's two away from the seis, its own av is number two, and the eggshell is number four, still, Rachman Amar of the Torah explicitly said, v'la seis v'la sapachas, it says la seis, and the sapachas means tefela, la seis. So the Kamar, the Pasuk rather has exerce a kasav to include that which is tafel to seis, even though seis is number two and the tefel, the tafel, is number four. We still afagav de manchei minei tuva, even though number four is far away from number two. It's a mefurish Pasuk that we could include it, that the number four, that the white eggshell could combine with number two. It's exerce a kasav. The real kasha is el sida heichel kasha. Number three, sida heichel, that we have nothing to compare to according to Rabbi Kiva. It can't compare. You can't combine it to number two because they're not the same av and tolda. And it can't combine to number one because Rabbi Kiva requires zulu mal mizu. So Gemara says, you're right. El mechaversa masnisin de lo Rabbi Kiva. We hold then that according to Rabbi Kiva cannot be the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva has to have a whole other understanding. I think we'll see tomorrow. I think he holds number one and two are av and toldos of each other, and three and four are avos and toldos of each other. That's how he allows it to combine for Rabbi Akiva. But our understanding is very different than that.
So when you say one, two, three, four, that's where it's written.
That's in terms of shades, of how strong white, how white they are. White number one is the whitest, number two is less white. The Gemara is going to describe, I think, like milk and wine in it. That's like how you describe how off it gets in terms of the color. Pure milk is white. With a little drop of wine, is like the next one, two drops is like the next. I think that's how they describe it. There is an interesting, what?
He's saying over here that it's not the shell, it's the membrane.
Oh, yeah, is it? Oh, it could be, okay, crumb makes sense, yeah.
What does membrane mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? There's a little bit of a white thing.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean under the shell there's
yeah,
a like
shell?
Could be, yeah, yeah.
Is that thin layer?
Yeah, must be, yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Why do we want it to be specifically, why are we so set on it being according to Rabbi Kiva?
No, you're just saying, we know Rabbi Kiva Shita, we're just figuring out, is Rabbi Kiva the author or not the author? So we know Rabbi Kiva Shita, we're saying he must not be the author of the Mishnah.
What's his Shita?
We're trying to see if it works out or not. His Shita was Zulu Mal Mizu. We're going to clarify, I think, tomorrow, his Shita. There's an interesting toast we want to look at very quickly, number at Dibur Maschel Shnaim, Haman Bezi, you don't have to stay for this if you want to go. I know it's hard stuff, but it's interesting toast. Let's quickly, Shnaim Shein Arba Beharos, he says, Beharos rather, Seide Lav Nusan Sheleg Tzemer Lavan Sid Ha'ichel Vakarim. That's the order we just said. And the Hayah Nira Lamar, the Chol Mala Mishalag Bichlal Shalag. If you look at those, Benjamin Moore paint things, there are like hundreds of shades of white. They're not only four of them. So what's everything in between? The Tosa says, Davar Pashit, that everything, the Chol Mala Mishalag Bichlal Shalag, everything above a Shalag, more white than Shalag, it's considered Shalag. Umitzemer ad Shalag, and from the wool until Shalag, that's Bichlal Tzemer. And Misid vad Tzemer, everything above Sid until you hit to the white wool, that's Bichlal Sid. And Mikrom vad Sid, Bichlal Krom. That seems to be a Davar Pashu. Vavi Asi Shapir, this makes a lot of sense. Hod Tznan Masechas Negaim. The Mishnah tells us that there are Ayin Beis Maros, there are 72 shades of Negaim. The Harbi Maros Negaim, that makes a lot of sense. Not only four, there's 72. We're including all those in between under the four categories of Beharos and so on and so forth. Aval Ein Lachalkam Linin Seraf El Arba. But with regards to separating and combining them, we only have four basic categories. So he asks a question, and he says, Aval Kasha, Deheach Parach Lakaman Vayomru Mikrum Beta Ulamala Tame Umitzarif. Forget the kasha right now, but what he says is lechach nira de'ein derech hanega lavo ela b'dal maros halalu. Now he argues. He says teras only could come in these four shades. If they come any shade that's different above those colors, it actually will not be considered teras. It's not included. Vein maros acheres b'intayim, and nothing else in between would be considered the maros negarim. So what's the 72? The Ein Beis, the Chashib Maseches Negam, that's referring to Chashib Pesichei O Nige Batim Ubegadim, referring to other types of teras that appears on a piece of cloth or in a house. Those are 72. When it comes to the four that appears on an Adam, there are only four shades that we would acknowledge as being Nega teras. Okay? We'll stop here.